that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the weeds is our host, Mike Benkovich.
All right. Hey, and thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another week of MSDN Radio. This is the show where you can actually participate in the conversation by joining the registering for the meeting, come and dial in, and then you can ask questions of our guests. We've got a lot of stuff lined up today. One of the first things I want to do is introduce my co-host today, and we've got Mithun Garg, who's going to be joining us as a co-host on the show. Mithun, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Benko. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, you were the original starter of the – you're the originator of the Firestarter Conference, right?
Indeed, and I'm so excited. The Firestarter brand is now spread worldwide, and you guys are doing a ton of Firestarter events, aren't you?
I think we are. You know, we're in different parts of the United States, so we cover kind of different things. But we've been following the Firestarter stuff that you've been doing for quite a while. Before you did that, you were part of the speech server team?
Yes, so I was a product manager for the speech server team. I was primarily involved in product marketing and also building out an ISV ecosystem for speech server.
So,
which is now rechristened as Office Communication Server, part of Unified Communication.
That's a wonderful product. So if anyone has problems or questions, they can always come up and ask you what's going on with that, huh?
Absolutely.
So what's the latest with the Firestarter? Just kind of give us an overview of what's going to be coming.
There are I think at least three Windows Phone Firestarter events, Windows Phone 7 Firestarter events coming up across the country. The first of which will be in the East Coast. And the dates, I think if you want to find the dates, a good URL to go to is msdnevents.com. So we'll be posting all the information there. Right after that, we haven't decided when we'll have ours, but in a couple months time frame, we will have the Windows Phone Firestarter in the Seattle area. And for those of you who don't know what Firestarter is, it's basically a day's training on a particular technology, all delivered by Rockstar speakers. It will be a mix and match of Microsoft, non-Microsoft speakers. And all of the content will be streamed live and recorded for, post-event consumption.
Hey, it's a great format. It's a great idea, and because you've got, a lot of the key people coming out and talking. You know, we do have some a guest today who's going to be talking about Windows Phone, and we'll get to that here in a second. But I did want to just kind of make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. I know you've got a blog. It's blogs.msdn.com/mithund, which is M-I-T-H-U-N-D. You also have a Twitter.
Yes, it's the same as my blog, which is at Mithund.
Okay.
M-I-T-H-U-N-D.
So people can follow you on Twitter and find out, you know, what's new and what's going to be coming. You'll be announcing all the upcoming stuff on there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I look forward to co-hosting this with you on a regular basis, which is very exciting.
It's going to be a lot of fun. This is our 15th show of MSDN Radio. People that are interested in following me as well, BenkoTips.com and at MBenko. We try to just make sure that we bring you what's going to be happening in the technology world, and it's kind of a fun thing because you can participate in the show and get in and ask questions. The key is we've got a lot of people who are part of the live meeting, the recording of this. You do need to register for the actual shows that are coming up, and I generally put those as a tiny URL or a bit.ly URL, and I post those through the blog and a couple of other places. But when you participate in the show, you just let us know that you have a question, either by going out to, if you're on live meeting, going to the Q&A panel and saying, hey, here's my question, and then we'll give you the dial-in number. And then once you're dialed in and you're actually listening on the phone line, you do a star 8. The star 8 lets us know that you have a question that you're ready to ask. I see a whole lot of people from around the world, I guess. And if you have questions, we want to make sure you get a chance to ask them. So press the star 8 to ask those. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest today, and that is Walter Richer. Walt comes to us as an MVP, working with a variety of different technologies, working with graphics. He's the author of the Shazam Shader Editor. Walter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'm excited you're able to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. It sounds like you're out doing a lot of speaking around the world on different technologies. Where are you going to be going to next? What's your upcoming schedule look like?
I have three or four conferences scheduled in the fall. I'm going to be at GIZ Live in Orlando, Florida, and I'll also be in Europe for a couple of conferences. I'm going to be at SDC in the Netherlands. That's in October. And then I'm also going to be at DevReach, which is in Bulgaria.
I'm actually doing
a Windows Phone 7 talk in the Bulgaria conference. I'm excited about that.
Well, that'll be a blast. I envy your frequent flyer miles. So you're also a instructor for Wintellect, is that right? Or you do some training?
I do some training with Wintellect. I have been doing their WPF class for about over three years now, I think, and that's been a successful class. I do some other classes with them as well, their C-sharp
mm-hmm.
class, and they have a number of classes in their catalog.
So it's kind of a natural switch for you to go from using XAML for WPF to using XAML for the new Windows Phone.
Right. I've done some Silverlight development work, and then I was excited when I first heard about the Windows Phone coming out and then the fact it was going to use Silverlight and XNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an XNA developer, but I am a Silverlight developer, and so I was interested to see if what Microsoft said is true, that you could take your Silverlight skills and bring them over to writing Windows Phone applications.
So, you know, go ahead.
That's a great thing that you were you had some former experience with Silverlight. So what was your whole ramp up curve like when you started writing applications for the phone? Can you share some of that experience?
I did. I did some work with the emulator, which most people is the only way you can work with the creating a Windows Phone app. There's a little bit of work involved getting the SDKs and everything installed, but as programmers, we're all used to that.
Right.
Getting your dev box ready to go. Then I've worked with emulators in the past as well, so I was pretty comfortable working with the emulator. I was fortunate to actually have a device for 3 days. A couple weeks ago when I was at VS Live in Seattle.
Ooh, you actually had a physical device? Where'd you get that?
I had the phone for 3 days, thanks to Mithun and his constant pressure on his team to find me a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Waters was grateful enough to loan us his phone for 3 days.
Oh, it was
so I had
great.
Opportunity.
What'd you say? So,
I said it worked out great, and you know, we were able to get Walt a phone just in time for a talk at VS Live, which was on campus this time. So it was on Microsoft campus, I think, 2 weeks ago.
I had the phone for about 2 hours before my first talk on the topic. And so that was interesting, actually seeing how the phone works. I'd be happy to talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah.
Also, I took that opportunity to carry the phone around with me and show it to the attendees of the conference and say, you know, well, I didn't have to do much. Most people came up to me and said, you're the guys doing the phone talk, right? Can I look at the device? Because they all want to touch it. We ought to actually work with it and see if it's what we think it's going to be.
So what did they say what's the typical first experience that people have with it?
My take from about 60 people that looked at the phone over the course of 3 days is that there was a lot of nudging, hey, tell their friend to come look at this. I got the phone. This is the Windows 7 phone, playing around with the speed of it. The device I had was the LG model,
mm-hmm.
and the touch on that wasn't very – as responsive as the other Windows Phone 7 that's out, Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to play with one of those too, and I felt like the Samsung was just sweet and fast and very responsive. The LG seemed to have some issues with its touch once in a while, and it would be kind of hesitant. But I think that was a hardware device, and it is a pre-release phone.
Well, yeah, I mean, these devices, one of the challenges is to find devices that, you know, are production quality where, you know, that we're really building them out and getting them ready for when we do it, eventually get that out in the marketplace. So what's the thought on running it in the hardware versus the emulator?
Well, it's totally easy. Visual Studio makes it really simple. There is one caveat, which I was a little surprised, is I don't know if you're aware of how the apps are going to get deployed to the phone, but they're going to come through the Zune. You have to have a copy of Zune on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a hardware device, in order to deploy to the phone or to debug it, to attach the debugger to it, you have to have a copy of the latest Zune beta on your computer,
mm-hmm.
which was unexpected. I wasn't expecting that because you already have the SDK installed.
And for
our listeners, a good place to get started is developer.windowsphone.com. You can download all the tools there, but as Walt points out, you need the beta of Zune, which I think is available only through the Connect website as of now. Is that correct?
Right. It's a private beta as of right now, so I would assume if you're lucky enough to be getting a hardware device, you're also going to be part of that program,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have access to the bits, the Zune bits.
So what is it like to, what is the process for using the Zune software to actually, you know, create an app and then get it onto the device?
Right. Well, so you install the Zune software. When you plug the phone into your computer, it's going to launch Zune just like it does with your Zune hardware. And then you just go into Visual Studio, and there's a drop-down which says debug to the emulator to the hardware device, and you just pick your hardware device off the list and press F5, and you're good to go. It
mm-hmm.
finds the phone, uploads it, attaches the debugger, and then shows your start screen on your application.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty seamless, straightforward kind of thing. It just works.
It just works, right?
IJW.
And if you shut Zune off, the software off, then Visual Studio will tell you it can't deploy to the phone, and it'll give you a little hint what you need to do.
Okay.
And how are the tools work? Like, if you're a .NET developer, is it very intuitive to start writing applications? It's basically Visual Studio, right? Your favorite IDE in the whole world.
It's Visual Studio, right? And it's Silverlight. And so if you're already familiar with that, it's pretty easy. I took a couple of applications just to try things out and converted them over from Silverlight Web to Silverlight Phone, and most of them just switched right over without much work at all.
Oh, wow.
I had some issues with the Bing map, but that's because there's no native Bing map control for the phone.
Yes.
Oh, that's
right.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I brought the Silverlight app over that had some Bing map items on it, and the first time it worked fine. In Visual Studio, I could see my emulator, and I could see the Bing map load the first page. I could see the opening map. It was live, which it does in Visual Studio. Then I pressed F5 to run it, and it said it couldn't build, it couldn't compile. And it turns out that because there's no Windows Phone 7 specific version of the Bing map control, you have to install a Silverlight library in order to use it. And so you have to add a reference to a DLL, and then once I did that, it started up and ran. Now, I believe it's illegal to actually deploy that Windows Phone app with that DLL as part of your assembly, because you have to use the Windows Phone specific assembly. So when it goes through the certification process, they would catch that and say, well, you can't use this DLL. But I would assume that the Windows Phone 7 team will have their own version of the Bing map control at that point.
I'm very sure. And the tools that you're using is a beta version. So as it comes close to production, I'm pretty positive that they'll have a Bing map control for WPC.
I'm sure.
That's great. So what got you excited, Walt? What's the potential you see in it?
The potential for the programmer? Or for
yeah,
the user?
As a developer, what is the opportunity you see? Like, can you talk a little about the marketplace? And I know you, in your recent presentation at VF Live, you had some numbers, which are pretty damn impressive. So can you share some of that?
Oh, you mean like how much money we're all going to make when we start selling Windows Phone applications?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, and I understand that Microsoft employees are eligible to have apps on the phone store, too. Is that right?
That's
yes,
exactly right.
That's correct.
So you're asking me that because there's some ulterior motives here I'm hearing.
Well, you know, some.
Well, there's, first of all, Dick, you probably already know this, but if you want to deploy an app to the phone, you're going to have to go to the marketplace. We don't know how many phones are going to be sold within the next year, you know, how successful Microsoft's going to be with this release, but we're all hopeful that there'll be, you know, some millions of numbers out there, of units out there, I mean. And the best place to look is to see how the iPhone apps did. And there's a couple of, you know, compelling stories under there that make us all think we're going to get rich. You know, there was one guy, for instance, on the iPhone who did the, I forget the name of the application. I don't have my notes in front of me, but basically it's an artillery game. You try to shoot a tank on the other side of the hill, and he made, in like 5 months, he made like $800,000.
Wow. So everyone that writes an app is going to make $800,000?
I'm not saying that. I don't want to get a bunch of angry emails in a year. You promise.
Well,
you know, it's...
So a developer coming out and starting out with, you know, doing this development, I mean, if they have a solid background in XAML, is that pretty much what they need to be able to, you know, make this all work?
Well, they're going to need to understand how to build a compelling application, like any app you're going to sell. People are going to buy it, and you need to know how to make an interesting-looking application, which SolarLight's very powerful at. You're also going to have to understand the phone limitations. And in a half hour's time, we don't really have time to go into all those limitations, but there's hardware limitations. You're working on a smaller memory device than an average desktop.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on a single-threaded model, and you also have to understand the whole state model. That when you're working on a Windows Phone 7 application, if you go to any other screen other than your application, then your application is removed from memory,
mm-hmm.
and that means you have to think about state management in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. So the phone is... really a single-threaded kind of a deal. So I suppose you have to be ready for just about anything to kind of take your application out of being active?
Right. A phone call coming in is going to kill your application. User opening your browser is going to kill your application. Yeah. Something as simple as you writing code to ask the user for a picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to a chooser in the phone to do that. So there's an API that exposes the single the chooser where the user, you launch that, the user picks something, let's say it's a picture, right? But
mm-hmm.
the act of doing that is going to kill your application.
Hey, we've got a question from a caller, Scott from Minneapolis. I think he's got something to do with the SolarLight user group here. Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's
Hi,
going
Scott.
On?
Hi, Walt. Do you remember me meeting me at PDC? You and I Eric Mark, at lunch. Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. So I have a question about kind of the community at large. Actually, I have two questions, but let me start with this. Sean Waldemuth had a great blog post about the enterprise developers are complaining because they're in the wrong mindset about this as a consumer-based phone. Are you starting to see that catch on more, that we have to think about building consumer-based apps instead of enterprise apps for this first release?
I don't know if I'm seeing it catch on. I think people out there who are looking at the phone as an opportunity to sell their application or get their application out in front of an audience, if they have the kind of application that they think will play well in that field, I think they're excited about it. You know, if you've got a game mm-hmm. and you think, well, there's going to be, let's just say 2 million phone users out there, and I've got that potential audience to sell that game to. I'm sure there's ports for a lot of Android games and iPhone apps happening. But you're right. There is this sense in the corporate community that we're we're not getting what we need into Seoul.
You know, that's actually a very good opportunity, I think, Sean, because Microsoft Office is so well integrated into the phone itself. I think there is a strong potential for a developer to write, you know, a niche app and focusing just for the enterprise and tie in one of those line of business applications. I don't know how this would pan out, but I think if there is an opportunity, I think the opportunity for an enterprise app is great on a Windows Phone 7 platform than any other phone platform that is out there right now.
I agree. I think that it's just going to take some time for the developers to get their hands around and their heads around what's available and what's not available for those that have done WinPhone 6 app development.
Mm-hmm.
In the user group, I get a lot of people that approach me about Silverlight and WinPhone 7, and I'd like to get your impression, if you think this is accurate as well, that I'm of the opinion that the developer base for the Windows Phone is going to be so dramatically different in terms of their mindset compared to the other platforms that I think we're going to see a lot of phones that have back-end services in the cloud and so on. And so I wonder if that takes a lot more effort to develop, if we're going to see an app store full of really heavily rich apps, but then also they're going to have to mandate a higher price point in order to be able to justify that level of development. Do you think that the developer base is going to play a part of that?
So what you're saying is you're thinking that to justify the cost of the development, you're not going to see the $1.99 phones, apps, but you're going to see the $40 price point?
Well, I'm just wondering, well, I don't know about $40, but I'm just wondering if the Windows App Store, because of the nature of the developer base, is going to look very different than the other mobile app stores that are out there, that because it's a different mindset of developers building those types of apps typically. You know, and that's a bad stereotype, but all of the WinPhone developers that I've talked to, almost all of them are, they're enterprise-minded. They're trying to figure out, how do I build apps with back-end services?
Mm-hmm.
If I understand right, there are two parts to this question. One is the pricing aspect, and one is the apps that come out will not be, you know, your basic part applications. So, you know, spare the closeness of the argument here, but I completely agree. The most of the people that I talk to, I think, Sean, are of the same mindset. They're all thinking about, you know, which applications, where there is, they're tying up back-end services, they've got the cloud involved, and they're pushing the limits of the three screens way beyond what we can imagine. And Walt, I think you agree to that as well, right? Like, when you talk to most of the people, they have, just because the tool set is so powerful and the platform itself has so much to offer, you know, developers, since there is a very little ramp-up curve, are going to make these applications super powerful.
What I would say is I think the potential for creating a huge variety of applications is there because of the Silverlight platform and also the XMA platform. We're not talking about that today, but, you know, the whole gaming industry. You heard the news about the new Microsoft Gaming Studios last week, did you?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it roll by on Twitter a few times.
Just right. for the people that didn't hear it, just say what it is.
Yeah, so there's Microsoft has launched a new division in their game studios called Mobile Game Studios, and they're hiring people to shepherd mobile-specific games into the marketplace, just like they shepherded the Xbox game then a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells me that somebody at Microsoft is taking it serious that games are going to be a big part of a phone experience. So anyway, so back to my point is I think there's a broad range of apps that you can write using Silverlight. I think the crux of the problem for the corporate developer is the deployment model, right? Is if we want to build an application for our fleet, we have 400 people that work out in the field, and we think the mobile phone is perfect for them, and we want to write some sort of app that they would use while they're out every day on their routes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do you deploy that application to the phone if it goes through the marketplace? Right? You have to put it on a marketplace, and that means that people other than your 400 employees can also see that application and purchase it. And if you make it free, other people are going to download. And that's one of the issues. And how do you have a private deployment to just corporate people?
Mm-hmm. So you really got a lot of different ways that these apps can be, you know, created and how they can run and everything else. Sounds like
right. You can have some sort of service in the back end that you have. Anybody could download it, but if you don't have the name, the correct credentials to access the back end, then you couldn't use the app anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got another caller, Jane from Minneapolis. Jane, what's going on?
Hey, I was just calling to kind of a little bit about kind of the feature set that's going to be in the Phone 7, like specifically if you're, like what version of Silverlight it's going to be comparable to.
So you want
to
know which version of Silverlight is running on the phone?
Yes, what version of Silverlight, and would that be like the full version?
Silverlight 4, Silverlight 3, et cetera?
Right.
So what do you think, Ralph? Well,
so it's going to run Silverlight 3. The base model is it's Silverlight 3, and it's got a few features from Silverlight 4, and it's also got some of its own features. Somebody made a joke while I was at VS Live. I think it was Stephen Forte said it's version 3.7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no official release for that.
You know, that actually pretty much sums it up, right? It's basically a superset 3 and a subset of 4, if you want to include, yeah. 3.7.
Are you doing Silverlight?
Right?
Are you already doing Silverlight development?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just trying to get a feel for kind of what feature sets are, what's going to be there if you're doing, you know, Silverlight 3, what's there, what's not there.
Right.
But, you know, that brings up an interesting point. You know, when you think about just developing, whether it's Windows, whether it's phone applications, you know, what are the platforms that are out there? You got the Android, the iPhone, you've got the Windows Mobile 6X, and you've got the new Windows Phone, which is Silverlight Next and A. There's a bunch of different frameworks. Have you done much development with the Android or with the iPhone? Well,
I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a really nice and attractive platform for people who are Windows developers to kind of get into it and get started real quick. I know there's going to be a ton of events coming up. You know, what's the best way to learn about upcoming events as to where people should go and how they can get involved in this and get started?
I would always say, like, watch our blog, follow our Twitter feeds, and, you know, msdnevents.com is where we'll be posting all of our events. And another great resource that not many developers take use of is the MSDN Flash newsletter. Benko, you author the Flash newsletter for the central region, don't you?
Yep.
So sign up for just do a quick search on your favorite search engine, which is Bing, I suppose, for MSDN Flash newsletter, and you'll find the link. So it's a two-step process, and both of these are really important. Once you sign up, you'll be prompted to enter your zip code, and once you enter the zip code, it basically gives you all the localized news events, information about the local events, etc. So be sure to put in your zip code. Otherwise, you'll just get a generic MSDN Flash newsletter, which will not have your local information.
And the other place that people can go too is, well, besides, you know, subscribing to our blogs and whatever, we also have all of these events are listed on msdnevents.com. So that's a great place to find out about developer events that are going to be coming up. Well, hey, Walt, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me on.
So how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about what's going on with you?
My Twitter feed is Walt Richer. My last name is spelled R-I-T-S-C-H-E-R. You can find me there.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bunch of links today for your show. My blog is blog.wpfwonderland.com. You can find me there. I also have my Shazam tool application, and it has its own blog too, which is blog.shazam-tool. Shazam is spelled with 2 Z's.
Okay.
If you use 1 Z, it's that music recognition software.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll be able to, people will be able to find you, and we'll be able to see what's going on. So, well, that's it for this week. I'm Mike Pankovich, and we'll talk to you next week on MSDN Radio. Make sure you go out to msdnradio.com to find out information about upcoming shows. We'll talk to you then.
Fantastic. Talk to you later, guys. This is Mithun signing off. Bye. Thanks, Walt.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSPNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.